All right, welcome golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, August 24th, 2013. We have a fantastic show for you today. Can't be more excited to have captain of the U.S. Walker Cup team, Jim Holtgreve. And also joining us later on will be A.W. Tillinghast, historian Phil Young, who is not just an A.W. Tillinghast historian, but also an expert in golf course architecture. And we'll be talking a little bit about C.B. McDonald and National Golf Links of America. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have U.S. Walker Cup captain Jim Holtgreve on the line. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back. Very pleased to be joined by 2013 Walker Cup captain Jim Holtgreve. Jim, how are you this morning?
Anthony, we're doing great. Had a wonderful time up the last 2 days up at National Golf Links of America with a team, having a little practice session. So I'm doing just wonderful.
Well, anytime you get to visit that treasured course, and of course you'll be playing one of the most historic competitions, returning back to the Walker Cup, back to National Golf Links of America, where it all started. What was your what was the impression like from the boys? Are they ready to go? Obviously, a very tricky golf course in terms of the green complexes. What were their impressions?
Well, Anthony, the impression was wonderful. They were overwhelmed. Obviously, you just said it's a historic venue. Obviously, it started back in 1922 when the first Walker Cup, the official Walker Cup, took place at National. And the guys, when we were playing golf, actually kind of felt kind of like some of the when Jones and Switzer and Wimette were there, they kind of felt those guys walking with them. So it was it was eerie, but it was just historic. They love it. They all know that it's a second shot chipping and putting golf course. That's okay. These guys are very accomplished at that part of the game. We had a chance to kind of get our foursome teams together, and we got three guys from Alabama and three guys from California, so they played a lot of golf together. So getting a head start was really important, and to get out there and play the golf course in various wind conditions, which we had, was a great opportunity for us. And they just love the golf course, and they're just honored to be there.
You've played in on the Walker Cup team a number of times. You've captained before, but given the historical circumstances, is this your maybe most proudest Walker Cup to be a part of?
Well, you say that, and I get kind of emotional about it, because when I first got my captaincy in 2011, somebody said, "Boy, don't you wish you know?" In the last five captains, we've had an opportunity by the USGA to be a captain over there as well as over here in the United States, and so I knew that if I did a somewhat of a decent job, I'd have a shot at becoming a two-time captain. And somebody said, "Well, don't you wish that your first captaincy was in the United States?" And I said, "Well, when I knew the rotation, when I knew what was going to be, where it was going to be in 2013, and of course, I love playing golf in Scotland. That's where it started. So when I got the nod for Royal Aberdeen, the sixth oldest golf course in the world for 11, I was overwhelmed. But then when I knew that if I had a shot to get 13, I get to come back to National Golf Links of America, where it all started, It's overwhelming to me. Yeah, you're exactly correct. This is, a little boy's dream. Little boys dream about things, and this is just wonderful. I just can't think of anything better in my life than to have a chance to be a captain at the National Golf Links of America.
Well, you know, the emotion that you're expressing it obviously means a lot to you. But, you know, when we hear that as people watching, your emotion means a lot to us because as the viewer and as a spectator, as someone who's going to be watching and rooting, it means a lot to us because we know how much it means to you. And so that makes us that you're not just going through the motions, not that anybody would go through the motions with a Walker Cup, but you understand what I mean. I think your emotion sort of transfers to the people who care about the game, knowing that that you have this passion for the game and you take what your responsibilities and you realize how fortunate you are and how lucky you are to be a part of this great experience. How is it to try and, because I understand and I could be an emotional person and I'm sure I'd be very similar to you. Is it difficult to sort of translate that or transfer that or getting the players, some of the younger kids, to understand what they're about to experience?
Interesting you say that, Anthony, because when we had our practice session back in December, when we had 16 guys who were on the radar screen down at the Florida, and there was only one guy, Jordan Niebrugge, is the only guy that wasn't there, so everybody else was down there. I talked very strongly about I served my country, I was in the Air Force, and then I got a chance to play on 3 Walker Cup teams and 2 World teams, so I got a chance to play for my country. And now I got a chance to represent my country, and I tried to tell them, and that's one of the things that people, I get maybe criticized a little bit because I say, do I want to win? Yeah, yes, I do want to win. And do I want to have these guys win? Yes, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is for me to take these 10 young guys to have the greatest experience of their life and to be able to play for their country. And when I've gone out in amateur tournaments for the last 2 years and try to talk to these young men about if you have a chance to play for your country, there's no greater honor in any sport than to play for your country. And so I just really drive that home. I drive it home real hard because we are so fortunate to play this great game. We're so fortunate to live in this country. And, you know, I just want to make sure that they understand that and that they know how important that is. And these guys, they're very mature. They're very respectful. They do understand, but I don't think they'll really get it until that flag goes up at the opening ceremonies this coming Friday. Two weeks from yesterday, when that flag goes up. And then I think they'll get it. And we are going to have a special time. We're all coming back to New York. Next Friday, I am taking them to the Memorial Ground Zero. We're having a special tour down there for our team. But I want to make sure that they really do understand how fortunate we are and how lucky we are. And that's what George Herbert Walker started back in 1918 and started with the Walker Cup, is to make sure that using the vehicle of golf, how we develop relationships around the world. And that's what I'm trying to drive home with these young guys, so they can take it, and then in their communities, and they can have an influence and have a significant influence to others, and give back. It's called giving back.
It's just fantastic. Thank you, Jim, for what you do for not only the game of golf, but what you do for young men. Given the circumstances of this, talking about the Walker Cup itself, and you know, given the sense that the United States in team competitions hasn't been so successful of late, have you felt a little extra pressure given what's happened with the Ryder Cup and now the Solheim Cup?
You know, Anthony, that's a great question, and I really haven't thought about it or dwelled on it at all. I just really care about my 10 young guys, and I just want to make sure, because when I played Walker Cup, I was such a competitive player that I didn't just smell the roses. I was so focused on winning a hole or winning a match. I want to make sure that my guys smell the roses and enjoy the experience, have the surroundings and know what's going on. So that's my goal. Do I feel the pressure from the other? I don't feel the pressure. Do I feel, I don't know. I mean, it's what golf's all about. I mean, and obviously foreign players have gotten much, much better. And so it's a worldwide competition now. And I think it just becomes, I hope that we all use the spirit of team competition, that we do it to promote the great game that golf really is.
I'm just curious. You talked about, just listening to your answer there, and you talked about how you were as a player and then how you were grinding for every point and so focused on the shot at hand or the competition at hand. And now you're talking about, as we all do, as we get older, we start seeing the bigger picture. When did you start to see that, where you saw yourself, your role start to change as what you wanted to do, how you wanted to influence young people in the game of golf?
I got to be honest, it's about 9-10 years ago. I wrote a book called Golf Sacred Journey, 7 Days in Utopia, written by Dr. David Cook, who has become a very good friend of mine. And it's a great story about a young guy that goes out to thinks that all he can do is get a professional tour and he'll be set for life. He'll have all the money, he'll have all the things playing professional golf. And when I went on the Champions Tour back in 98, I went out there only for the money. And I have since learned to become a much better person. I'm a Christian. I'm more involved with the Bible. And I've just learned that other things are more important. And it's not about the money. And it's not about, you know, all the things that go on. It's not all about the stuff. It's all about trying to give back and have something to do with significance and trying to help other people. And I think I keep praying about what my... I keep praying about what God wants me to do, and I think he's got me on a path to have some significance to young people about playing this great game, which teaches us so much about the characters of life with integrity and humility and respect. And so I think that's where I learned it about 10 years ago, and I've changed, and I have a better time playing golf. I actually say when I'm playing a competition, I actually say to an opponent, I say, good shot, which I never said before. So my life's changed, and it's changed for the better. And I'm hoping to take. I've given the book out to over 1,000 people. I've given the book to the GB&I team. I've given the book to the United States Walker Cup team. And hopefully, these guys, when they become either professional golfers or doctors or insurance salesmen or whatever they do, that they'll understand what really life is all about, and they'll give back to.
Mr. Holgreave, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning, and we wish you all the best. Thank you for what you do for the game of golf. Thank you for the type of influence that you are having on these young golfers.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much, and thank you for what you do to promote our great game. It's thank you for what you do. I appreciate it very much, sir.
We really appreciate it. Have a safe journey, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. That was Jim Holgreave, the captain of the U.S. Walker Cup team. I can't think of the right words, to be honest with you, what a wonderful man to have leading our U.S. team. You can hear the emotion that he has when he talks about his responsibility to these young men, not just in the game of golf, but in talking about influencing them outside the game of golf as people. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll have A.W. Tillinghast historian Phil Young on the program. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. What a great show we have today. Jim Holgreave, captain of the 2013 Walker Cup, and now A.W. Tillinghast, historian, Mr. Phil Young. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing great. Better now we have you on the program. It's been a while. Want to talk about, obviously, the 2013 Walker Cup is at the National Golf Links of America. You are well-versed in the in golf course architecture, not only through A.W. Tillinghast and all the work that you've done with him and the books that you've written about Bethpage. Give us some nuggets. We have about 10 minutes. What's some nuggets about National Golf Links of America, C.B. McDonald, and, of course, I always seem to forget, but we shouldn't, the skillful engineer that helped create National Golf Links of America and world-renowned architect in his own right, Seth Rayner. Can you talk a little bit about the golf course?
It is perfection. There's no other word for it. It is not an ultra-long 8,000-yard, let's reach the 700-yard par 5 in two shots, and it's not, just a little flip wedge, as we've gotten so used to nonsense. It is golf purity. It is the way golf was meant to be played. The greens are dynamic. They are wonderful in the angles of what are out there. This isn't a place that is having its fairways pulled back down to 20 yards just to challenge the best in the world. It stands among just a handful of courses that it doesn't matter how long the course is. There's no better praise than you can give, except saying that it's the National. It's the National Golf Links of America, NGLA. You just say that, it says perfection.
What is it about those, you've studied A.W. Tillinghast and a number of architects. What is it about C.B. McDonald, and what is it about National Golf Links of America when you say it's perfection? For the people who don't really know golf course architecture, what are some of the elements that make it so pure a golf experience?
What C.B. McDonald was a proponent of was template golf hole design. He believed that the great golf holes of Europe, of the UK, England, Scotland, should be repeated as often as possible, including forcing them onto land that wasn't designed for it. So, in effect, he was the first real earth-moving architect from that perspective. What he found at the land for National is land that accepted those great hole types, the bottleneck hole, the redan, all the holes that he wanted to emulate, he was able to emulate there and to do so better than any other, at least in my opinion, course that he ever did. And it was one of his real early creations, which is the irony of it. He did a number of other great courses, the Ocean Club, Mid-Ocean Club, etc., that have the same types of holes. And so what you'll see at National is typical of what you'll see in many a place. But that's what he believed in, that was his philosophy, and that's what he practiced.
When people go to National Golf Links of America and to experience it visually and to watch the 2013 Walker Cup, what would you have spectators do? What should they look at? Obviously they're going to be watching great golf. No one's arguing that. But if you really, what is it about the course that you would want them to pay attention to so that they understand what it is that they're actually looking at?
They should do two things in specific. The first is, as often as possible, stand behind the tee. Look at how the hole appears. And then go stand behind the green and look back down the hole. And now you'll see it in a totally different light. The best way to understand the architecture of a hole is from behind the green, because it shows you the angles into the hole itself, into the green, and where the different hole locations are put. Whereas standing at the tee box, standing out in the fairway, you're looking at a generality of what is there based on where your ball is. What you want to learn to do with golf architecture is to look at what it gives you and then play within those choices, because there's always a choice. You can be on the left side of the fairway, the right. Do you fade a ball? Do you draw a ball? Does the hole accept different types of shots? Can you play a ground game by letting the ball land before the green and bounce and roll itself on? National allows for that. So looking at it from those two perspectives will give the average person who's trying to understand the beauty of golf course architecture an appreciation for what is actually there compared to what they think is being represented. And typically what you have at the tee is the beginning of the architect playing with the player's mind.
Right.
It's telling him, okay, where do you think you should hit it? Nah, that's not the place. And when you get up to the green, you look back and say, oh, dummy, that's why I shouldn't have been there. I should have been over there, even though it didn't look like it made sense from the tee.
Sure.
And there's that aspect of the game that you can only learn by looking from the hole backwards.
Fantastic stuff. Phil, what else do you have going on your plate? I know you've written a number of books. You're very active in the community in terms of what's going on in golf course architecture. What are you up to lately?
Well, my research business, goldenageresearch.com. I sound like a travel website. I do research for a lot of clubs nationwide, helping them recover their history, prepare for restorations and renovations. I've got projects going on right now, and three of them in Detroit, one in Cleveland, one in Philadelphia, out in San Francisco, a couple on Long Island, some in the tri-state area, and elsewhere. So it keeps me hopping. But among the fun things are the discoveries you make that can dramatically alter the history of what is known. So, for example, this past January, we were able to discover that Harry Colt designed the Kirtland Country Club course in 1913 outside of Detroit. And why that's so important is if you get outside of the U.S., almost to a person, any architect will tell you that Harry Colt was the greatest who ever lived. And his courses in Europe are legendary. Well, he only did a handful in the U.S., and not a single solo design of his remains until this past January.
Wow.
When we discovered the Kirtland Country Club is the only solo Colt course left on in the United States. And to give the listeners an idea of the quality of work he did, he was on his way, once he right after he visited Kirtland, he went to that little course in New Jersey called Pine Valley.
And Pine Valley is where he did all, where he, what did he do when he went there?
When he went there, he took George Crump's basic design, and he helped coalesce about two-thirds of the course together, finally. There are a couple holes were designed by Tillinghast, a few holes directly by George Crump. Crump was more of the, he had his vision of what was there, and Colt was able to work within his vision and helped him finish it up before his untimely early passing.
What is the significance of, you said that Colt, he didn't do a lot in the United States. One, why? And two, what is it about his style of architecture that has made what you, as you said in your own words, legendary in Europe?
They are, the courses he's done over there are all considered among the greatest in the world. And the there was a recent top 100 of the world put out by a new group, and by more than double of any other architect, Harry Colt's courses were listed. There is a spectacular aspect to his design. It's heroic. And yet at the same time, there's a simplicity to it. It is what the land really gives you and how to get the most out of that land. He had great vision for seeing a hole where others just saw, let's put a T and hopefully find a place for a green. He would create something that was unique to that piece of ground.
You mentioned, just jumping back to Long Island, you mentioned you've done a little stuff on Long Island. Can you reveal what you've been working on? Is that, or are you still in sort of research mode, or are you allowed to talk about it?
Well, I'm doing a research project with Sands Point Golf Club, among others.
Uh-huh.
They just recently underwent an incredible restoration by Keith Foster, and I'm hoping to come back on again with you in about a month or so when you've gotten out there to play it and be wowed by it yourself and say, wow, Phil, you were right. Look at this. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I've been a little bit involved with all the leaked news about the Bethpage hosting the PGA and the Ryder Cup that's coming. This has been basically a done deal for several years. They were just waiting for certain pieces of politics to come into place to sign it, and it's just about ready to go. And it will be the 2019 PGA and 2024 Ryder Cup.
The PGA, I have no worries, but you're a native Long Islander, Phil. Are you just a tad bit nervous about the Ryder Cup being played at Bethpage and the way New Yorkers could be?
Not in the least. Not in the least. In fact, if you look at the PGA in upstate New York, where it was nice and calm and everything, what came out of that? The Baba Booey, mashed potato, all the complaints.
Right.
That wasn't
right.
On Long Island.
That's true.
So it's a problem everywhere.
Yeah.
We've developed a golf culture that does not respect the game, does not respect that these players are out there making their living. They want to be part of it. They want to take over by screaming, in the hole! When a person is hitting their drive on a 600-yard par 5. Now, it just shows stupidity and ill manners and boorishness by doing that. And that's something that really needs addressing.
Absolutely.
I'm not worried about that at all, because the New York fans, the Long Island fans, especially those who know Bethpage intimately, it's because they know it that they really understand what is being accomplished, what is going on. And so I think it will be probably maybe the greatest Ryder Cup ever from a lot of perspectives. It is the perfect course to hold it on, because it is every single hole is unique in its challenges, and it will provide for people from everywhere, and because it is such a huge venue, it won't just be local people there. Mm-hmm. There'll be a lot of people from around the world who come to it, just like they did for both Opens.
Sure. Phil, we are out of time. I can't thank you enough for joining me this morning and look forward to working with you soon enough in a month's time down the road.
Terrific, Anthony.
Thank you very much, Phil. That's Phil Young, yeah. GoldenAgeResearch.com, as he said. Check out his work and his number of books. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
Thank you for joining me this morning. Two things that you need to do. You need to check out goldenageresearch.com, and you need to purchase your tickets at the USGA.com website for the Walker Cup. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Enjoy the fairways, my friends.